I'm going to speak this morning briefly on this theme, life-changing moments. God is in the business of changing our lives. He changes us not just once, but time and time again through the journey of our lives. It talks about us being transformed and renewed from one degree of glory into another degree of glory. He's always wanting to change you. He loves you the way that you are. He loves you just as you are. He loves you too much to leave you as you are. And he wants to change us from one degree of glory. Think of that, the glory. Difficult word to describe that glory. What does it mean? Well, basically it means the likeness of God, who God is. It's Jesus. We beheld his glory, it says. And Jesus was, he says, look at me and you see God, what the Father's like. Not his sandals and his amazing coat that actually was made in one garment, or his beard. You know, you don't get to become more like Jesus by growing a beard. But it's the inner change that he brings. And so I want to talk about life-changing moments. And what often happens is that we will encounter the presence of God, maybe in a worship time like this morning, or God will speak to us. And that is a life-changing moment as we outwork it through the rest of our lives. As we apply the lessons that we have learned as we've encountered God and heard from God through the rest of our lives, that is what brings the change. So I'm going to talk about three life-changing moments that I've experienced. Well, the first one was I was a Christian only for a couple of weeks or so, and a senior couple in the church I was belonging to in Cardiff took me under their wing, and they decided to mentor me and disciple me and pray for me. I would often go over their homes, and they were a couple that spent most of their days, because they were retired, reading the scripture, studying it, praying and fasting. And I used to love to go there, and often we would listen to a Bible tape back in the days when you had tapes. They would talk to me. I mean, I knew nothing back then, but they would mentor me, and they would teach me how to pray, and they would pray for me, and they would show me what God's word and gave me an appetite to study the scriptures for myself. I was so grateful for them. But one day, they prayed for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and Josie Neal, she had this word for me, a word from God. It was a scripture verse, and this is what it was. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your pathway straight, or he will guide you in the pathway you should go. That verse has changed my life. If I were to give you one verse that had the power to change your life amongst the many, I mean, I would give that one to you, because that verse changed my life. It was a life-changing moment I received that verse. I remember when she spoke it. I've never been prophesied over before, and there's a verse in the Proverbs, I think, or Psalms. It says, your words are like honey. Her words in that moment were like sweet. I could virtually taste them. I'd never experienced anything like it. It had a different dynamic and dimension to it as it came directly from God through her into my heart. And I knew God was speaking to me. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Very interesting verse. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust him. Whatever circumstance you're in, trust him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Completely trust him. With whatever you are going through, whatever it is, everything. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't try and work it out yourself. If you're clever, don't trust your cleverness. If you've accumulated wisdom, don't trust your own wisdom. Alone, trust in the Lord to guide you and lead you. Use your wisdom, use your understanding, use your education, use it all, but allow your heart to trust in God to supersede everything. Often I'll pray, Lord, I am not relying on my own wisdom in this situation. I need you to guide me and lead me. I know stuff. I've learned stuff. But I need you to lead me and guide me. Help me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. Here's a key word, all. We are so prone to think that God is only interested in the big things, the difficult things, the important things, the crisis things, and not the little things. But it's the little things that actually make up the larger part of our lives. Most of us have to make daily decisions, small decisions every day. And God wants to invest in the small decisions and not just the big challenges. So he guides us in everything. And I'm going to share three things that I acknowledge God in. And I've acknowledged God in many, but three things that I acknowledge God in. And he showed me some stuff. And he set a foundation. And I want to encourage you with them. Forgive me if you're familiar with some of the stories. The first one is when Sarah and I went to Tembe. This was many years ago. And we have been since, but many years ago. And Sarah borrowed a watch. Forgive me if I've told you this story before. She borrowed a watch from a dear old friend in her church in Salisbury, where she came from Ruth. And this watch belonged to, was given to her by her deceased husband. She's a widower. And Sarah lost her watch, and Ruth allowed her to borrow it. And we went to Tembe for the day for a picnic, and we spent all the day on the South Beach. There it is. Massive thing. We went up there into the sand dunes and went over. And when we came back in the evening to get back into the car, Sarah went to get the watch that she put in her pocket so it would be protected, to discover that somehow in Tembe, somewhere on that beach, she'd lost the watch. And she thought, oh, how am I going to tell Ruth that I've lost the watch that her husband had given her? And if I'm perfectly honest, I wasn't that bothered. Because I just wanted to go home. I was tired and wanted to go home. And I was going to, and I looked at Sarah's eyes, and I got a look that I realized that we were going to have to go and look for this watch. And no matter arguing or persuading was going to change the situation. Because it really mattered to Sarah, because she cared for this woman, Ruth. So I remember praying to the Lord, and I have to be honest with you again, it was kind of a prayer of exasperation. It wasn't a prayer of great care. It was just, oh Lord, you're going to have to help us find this watch or we'll be here all night. And that's what I prayed. And it was in that type of attitude. And immediately I saw in my mind's eye, we're going along the beach, and at some point Sarah started to look more intently. I didn't know where it was, where we'd been there. I presume we had been at that part, but just randomly. And then instinctively, I just went on my knees, put my hands into the sand, pulled my hand out and opened it up. And in this picture, there was a watch in my hand that was the one that had been lent to Sarah. So after a little while, we're walking at some random place in the beach, and Sarah starts going like this, and instinctively, I didn't even think about it. I went down on one knee like this, and I put my hand and buried my hand up to my wrist in the sand. Closed my hand underneath the sand, pulled it out, and there was the watch. I was amazed. I was astonished. But the thing that surprised me is this. I asked this question, why? I mean, I didn't care about the watch. I didn't care so much about Ruth. I didn't care so much, I'm being honest, I didn't care so much about Sarah caring for Ruth's cares. My heart was hard and young, and I just wanted to get home and have something to eat. I was not an angry young man, I was a hungry young man. But this is what I learned. God cared about the little things. He cared about an old, elderly widower. He just cared about the small things, the sentimental things, the little things that would not mean anything to me, but actually might mean something to you if you lost it. And we're not talking about people here, we're talking about things. but actually it would move your heart into sadness. He cares. He really cares. And I learned a lesson that God cares about the little things as much as the big things. And it is not selfish or irresponsible or time-wasting to acknowledge God, ask God, pray to God to help in everything. Everything. Every little thing. Not just the big, waiting until it stacks up till it's a big crisis. See, the word acknowledge means acknowledge, invite the involvement. Invite me into the situation. The word also means to submit. So there's, we invite him, we pray, and we submit. So there might be something to do. In this situation, there was something for me to do. I bent down and put my hand in the sand. In another situation, it might be a word of wisdom or some scripture that guides me in the situation, something to do. But as I involve God and collaborate with him in the little, he gets involved, he changes things. And I want to encourage you to involve the Lord in your life more and more. The great Smith Wigglesworth, who was a mighty miracle worker, I mean, he even rose his wife from the dead. She was in the coffin. And he prayed for her and rose her from the dead. And she got up and told him off. What did you do that for? She was having a good time with Jesus and he spoilt it. The great Smith Wigglesworth said this: I don't spend more than 10 minutes at a time in prayer. But I never go for more than 10 minutes without praying. I want to encourage you to acknowledge Jesus in all of your ways. And you will find the more that you acknowledge him, the more he gets involved. And the loving, caring, compassionate God will invade your life in remarkable ways. He will guide you and lead you. He'll whisper to you. He'll change things. He'll transform you. I pray to God about my doubts. You know, sometimes I'm praying for something, and I've seen so many miracles and many answers to prayer over the years. But faith and trusting God is not a static thing. Our faith can go up and it can go down because we're human. It's not like you're always on this same plane. Otherwise, we'd be robots. We're not static. We fluctuate, and we can. And sometimes I'm praying for something, and I'm saying, Lord, I know you can do this, but I'm struggling to believe it right now. Now I've got a choice. I could either just carry on praying, but I know that in my heart I'm struggling to believe God to answer this prayer, even though I've seen him answer so many like it in the past. Or I could just be honest to him, because he doesn't mind. He doesn't mind. He says, Lord, I know you can do it, but my heart and my mind aren't just quite connecting with what I know and you want to do right now, for whatever circumstance, and I'm being honest with you. And I find that as I talk to him about all things, I walk out of that prayer time and my faith is renewed. And I find that I can approach him believing that he can and he will, because I have acknowledged him in all things, even my doubts. I want to encourage you. Acknowledge him in all things. So that was a lesson that taught me how much God cares. Cast your cares on him. He cares for you. The other story, and again, forgive me if some of you have told this one, but this really, really taught me a lot about parenting. When Rachel, our first child, was small, she had one of those bottles, and it was time for her to actually stop using the bottle. I said to Sarah, look, Rachel, you know, she's 14. I didn't say that. But it was getting on a bit, you know. But everything we tried to do, she just would not drink out of a cup, a beaker. She just wouldn't do it. Just refused to do it. And we were not not persistent parents. We really persisted. Bedtimes, and we were going to win, and we just weren't winning. So I went to pray, and I said, Lord, We are just, it's getting embarrassing. Help us with this. And immediately, do you know what I saw in my mind's eye, which I felt the Lord put there? I saw a beaker, not a bottle like that, a beaker wrapped up in gift wrap paper. So I went down to town, in Hereford at the time. We bought a beaker, bought wrapping paper, wrapped it up, and it wasn't her birthday, but we gave it to Rachel like a present. She never used the bottle again. Immediately she unwrapped it and she wanted to use it. Do you know what? That was a word of wisdom. Yes. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Now we think, oh Lord, I really need wisdom for the difficult decisions in life. The major decisions, job decisions, education decisions, moving decisions, big purchase decisions, mortgage, no mortgage decisions, marrying decisions, that's a big decision. Well, we do need wisdom for all those. But you know, God will help you in helping your child transition from a bottle to a training cup. Because he's interested in everything. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. Parents, marriage, husbands, wives. Acknowledge the Lord in the workplace. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. How am I going to handle this tricky client, patient, boss, colleague? Give me an approach, Lord. One way can flare up and one way can calm down. Give me an approach, Lord. Help me. I acknowledge him. Don't have to do it on your own. Life-changing moment when God said, trust the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Life-changing moment. You'd like to hear one more story? Swansea. He will guide you in the everyday domestic things. He'll guide you in the things that don't seem to be like a big deal. But he cares because somebody cares. He'll guide you in the big decisions of life as well. So we were 26 years old. I was 26, 27 years old. I was in Hereford. We were working there as youth pastors and church evangelists. We've been there about 3 years. And I just kept getting this feeling that wouldn't go away, that our time in Hereford was coming to an end. Couldn't explain it. Just there. Wouldn't go away. So 1 week, I set myself to pray, and I prayed for a week, and I kept praying this prayer. How long, Lord? How long? How long? How long? How long do you want us in Hereford? How long? How long? How long? How long? Simple prayer. My prayers are very simple, mostly. Often, it involves this, help. honestly, I have prayed. Sometimes, I've got up in the middle of the night, and I've gone down in the dark, on my own, to the front lounge, and I've kneeled on the floor, like this, closed my eyes, next to a, foot cushion there, and I've just said this, help me, Lord, 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 help me, Lord. So, you just need help sometimes, don't you? Prayers don't have to be complicated. So I just said, how long, Lord? How long? How long? How long? How long? And so that end of the week, I had to go to a leadership conference. And a pastor called people out for prayer. And so I went up for prayer, and he put his hand upon me, and he said this, you've been asking the Lord how long? I told him, you got my attention now. You've been asking the Lord how long? The Lord says, not long now. People think you're cemented in. I'm going to break the cement. Get ready to move. So that was Saturday. So then I went home and I said, hey, this is what happened, Sarah. Do you remember when we prayed? And we prayed Sunday night and we said, Lord, okay, we know it's not long, but where do you want us to go? And Monday morning, I had to do a school assembly. So I went to do the school assembly and the head teacher came up to me and said, oh, I'm really excited today, Julian. And I said, why is that? He said, my daughter's coming home to see me from university. I said, oh, where in university is she? Oh, Swansea. And I go, oh, that's great. I was born in Swansea. Only stayed there a few weeks, but I was born in Swansea. And then I had to drive from that school assembly in Hereford to a colleague called Pete Hodge in 51 Moy Road, Cardiff, because I was doing some more schools work at an extensive mission and I wanted to get some advice from him and some ideas of how to approach it. So I knocked on his door, 51 Moy Road. He opened the door and he was standing at the doorstep and he looked at me and he said, "Oh, Julian," this is about, I don't know, an hour, 2 hours later or something. He said, "Julian," at the doorstep, he said, "before you come in and we get down to business, I got one thing to say to you. Things are happening in Swansea right now. Things are opening up in Swansea. There's a God-shaped hole in Swansea and God wants Julian and Sarah there." Well, I'm thinking, well, that's weird. That's a bit specific, isn't it? Well, within a fortnight after this, we were going on our first holiday together, weren't we? And we were taking Rachel to give her to Trevor and Jill, who are the grandparents, to look up. This was the first time we were going to leave her. And so we drove down to Selsey. So this is like near Southampton. So we drove, we're actually doing the handover. And Sarah's father's a pastor, and they got kind of an open house. And one of their congregational members just walked in. He said, "Oh, hi, Trevor. Hi, Julian. Hi, Sarah. How are you doing?" We knew them, you know. What was her name? Geraldine. I said, "Oh, Geraldine." She knew I was Welsh, you see. She said, "Oh, Geraldine." She says to me, "Julian, me and my mother are actually going to Swansea next week. You don't happen to know anybody there because she's an elderly lady. And if I could just leave her there for an hour or two because she gets tired while I could do the stuff I've got to do. Do you know anybody in Swansea?" And I'm thinking, this is three times now I've heard Swansea in the last week after we've prayed, not long now. So then we fly, all the way to Menorca, wasn't it? Was it Menorca? Yeah, we fly to Menorca. Makes your arms ache flying, but we got there. And I'm sorry. When the sermon's poor, you've got to put jokes in it. So people at least feel like they've had a good time. Okay. So, I'm joking, by the way. But so we flew there. Now, when I'm on holiday, I like people, but not on holiday. When I go on holiday, I don't want to meet anybody, talk to anybody. I keep my eyes to the floor so nobody will befriend me. But the last thing I want is a friend on holiday. "Oh, should we have dinner together? Or should we have a drink together? Or let's go for a walk together?" "No, I don't want to be together. I want to be on my own." Don't, you know. So I head to the floor and I'm signing in, and I did a fatal thing. I asked the woman who was signing in at the same time at the hotel where she comes from. I was friendly, fatal. And she says, "Oh, Swansea." Okay. And then I get home off holiday, and a friend who I'm in Bible college with, who actually shared the same room, he was in Northern Ireland, he just wrote to me, "Hey, Julian, I'm just being posted to Llanelli outside Swansea for my next post." So within this period of about a month, Swansea, 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 Swansea. And I knew that God was rattling my cage about telling me to go to Swansea. Now, here's the challenge. I didn't know anybody in Swansea. I didn't have a friend in Swansea. We didn't have a church contact in Swansea. We didn't have a job to go to in Swansea. We had nothing to go in Swansea. So what were we going to do? Go to Swansea. So I went to the pastor with a big list of all these things that God was saying. And as I... And he was happened to see a pastor friend of his there. So this pastor friend was listening as well. And I just rattled, "Look, the Lord, I think, is sending me to Swansea. What do I do?" And together we agreed that I would hand in my resignation in the church within like a 2-month period. We were renting a property. We would say to the people, we don't want to rent the house anymore. And we would plan to move. And we decided to move. And we had no church to go to. No job to go to. We were just going to go and turn up. That was the decision. So that's what we decided to do. And then, as I was saying all this, the pastor friend who was there said, "Oh, I happen to know a church in Swansea right now that actually where the pastor is ill and they could really do with some help. And it was a first introduction to a landing space that ultimately led to us planting the church here. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. Don't rely on your own wisdom or understanding. Trust in him. Invite him to be involved. Submit to him. If he guides you and leads you, do it. Even if it doesn't make sense. What? We haven't got a job to go to. How are we going to rent a house? How are we going to... I mean, what are we going to do? We got no money. Nothing. What are we going to do? Even if it doesn't make sense. Submit to him. Trust him. Obey him. And he will make your pathway straight. He'll make a way for you. And you will experience a life-changing lesson encounter with God on the way. The most life-changing encounter that I ever experienced is when I choose not to just submit my moments, my needs of guidance, my needs for prayer and wisdom to him, but when I chose to submit my whole life to him, to his lordship. And I did that on the 28th of February 1982, when I chose to abandon my whole life to Jesus Christ, everything. If he says it, I'll do it. If he wants me to say it, I'll say it. If it's popular, I prefer that. If people laugh, that's even better. Not at me, but if they don't like it, I'll still do it. I will obey God. That is my life decision. And that is a life-changing moment. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Submit to him, and he'll guide your pathways. I want to encourage you. Submit your moments to God. But again, yield your whole life to his lordship. Just make a decision to do it, whether you want to or whether you don't want to, whether it's popular or whether it's not. Just submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ in everything. Now, there will be times when you'll get it right, and there'll be times when you're challenged, and times when you might not work it out perfectly. But make the decision that that is going to be the determined direction of your life. And you will find that the life-changing power of God will stream into your life for good and for blessing of you and for others. If you're under the challenge of natural circumstances, or you feel the enemy is having a go, what does it say? Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's no good resisting the devil if you're not submitted to God. He won't go. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The Lord, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. So here's another life-changing moment. And this I'm going to finish. I was praying in my garden on a lovely summer's day, just like today. I was unemployed at the time, but I knew God had called me, and I didn't know what the next stage was. One thing I knew, I didn't want to go back to school. I hated school. Didn't want to go back. I didn't want to have to go through all of the study again. Didn't want to do it. Really didn't want to do it. Go back and study. And I'm praying and I hear these words. Julian, where are you going? Clear, clear, crystal words into my consciousness. And I knew it was the Lord. And that afternoon, I was planning to go and see my friend Nigel. So I said, well, I'm going to visit Nigel. And it went quiet. I mean, really quiet. And in the silence, I realized the Lord wasn't asking me what I was going to do that afternoon. But it was about my life. And I saw a picture of Paul on the Damascus Road, who saw the Lord shining in his brilliance on the Damascus Road. And he says, "Who are you, Lord?" And the word Lord just hit me like a bolt of lightning. And I said, "I'll go wherever you want me to go, Lord. If you want me to go into the slums and the difficult, impoverished areas of the third world and live in a tin hut, I will go there." That's what I said. I will go there. Or if you want me to go to Florida, I'll go there too. I don't care where it is. I will go wherever you tell me to go. And I will do whatever you tell me to do, Lord. Lord. And he said this, "Go to Capel." And in Capel, I knew what it was telling me, because in Capel was the theological Bible college and training center for ministry of the denomination of the church I'd started to go to in Cardiff. Go to Capel. Go back to study. Go back to school. Go back. Go back and do what you wouldn't choose to do instinctively. Go back, Julian. Go back. Go to Capel. Go to study. Get a biblical training to prepare for the ministry. So I did. And that 2 years of doing something I didn't want to do changed my life again. Lord, I want to invite you to trust in the Lord. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Don't lean to your own understanding. Submit your moments and your life to him. And you will encounter his life-changing stream for your good and for the blessing of others. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you love us so deeply. And Holy Spirit, as I just pause this prayer, I pray that you will give grace to every one of us to submit our moments and our life thoroughly to your Lordship and to trust you. Trust your goodness. Trust your wisdom. Trust your way. Trust your outcome. Trust you with our lives. So take a moment to surrender, a moment of challenge, of need, and your life to him. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Change lives now, in this moment. Surrender all. Surrender all. And as we surrender, we pray you'll bless us. We pray you'll keep us safe and watch over us and cause your face to shine upon us and give us peace. Amen.